There was a guy one time went down to a shop. And he goes down to the shop, and he's the kind of shop he's at is a hiking shop. He decided he wanted to go hiking. So he goes down there, and he starts looking around and says, what do I need to purchase? Because he'd never gone on any long hikes or anything. So the guy tells him, you got to have some boots. You got to have rainproof boots. So he bought rainproof boots, and it could be cold where you're going, so you need a jacket that's thick but it has layers you can peel off on the inside. And so he bought that, and he bought just pants that were thick enough so if a snake were to bite him, it wouldn't harm him. And he bought this, and he bought a map, and he bought a compass, and he bought everything they recommended that he buy. And he went out hiking in southern Washington State, and the snow came down, and he was completely lost. All that money, all that time, all that investment, and yet he was lost. Some people are that way in the Lord's church. They invest a lot of money, a lot of time, but they wind up lost. And it's not that they didn't have some good things going for them. They may well have made some good bargains, as it were, but they still wind up lost. I want to look at several things tonight that a man can do and still wind up lost. The first thing is, a man can hear the Word of God and be lost. In fact, he may hear the Word of God more times than could be counted and still wind up lost. He must do something in order to be saved. Romans 10:17 clearly says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But that hearing alone is not going to save him. In fact, in James 1, beginning in verse 21, James writes, "Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." But then he says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man that behold his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is." So he goes in, he looks in the mirror, and it doesn't make any change in him. His hair's one way, his nose may be running. He doesn't notice it. He doesn't care. He just goes on out just like he did before. So one can hear and be lost. In fact, the Jews in Antioch were guilty of that. This great city where so much great work was done by the Apostle Paul, where the Christians were called disciples first, and disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, it's true. In fact, in Acts 13, verse 44 beginning, it says, "The next Sabbath day came together almost the whole city to hear the Word of God." What an amazing thing, an entire city coming together, at least almost the whole city, to hear the Word of God. "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It's necessary the word of God first be spoken to you, but seeing that you put it from yourselves, you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we go to the Gentiles, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I set thee to be a light for the Gentiles, thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth.' When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, but the Jews were not glad because they had heard the word and they were still lost." It's not enough just to hear. Secondly, one can even believe and be lost. Now, you may run across many people in the religious world who say, as soon as one believes he's saved, there's nothing he can do to lose that salvation. That's not true according to the Bible. It's possible you can believe still be lost. For example, turn with me to John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. And these are some things we can mark down, because this is some little situation we run into very often, it seems like. So these are verses that could be marked in our Bibles. John 12, 42 and 43. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him, lest they should be cast out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than they loved the praise of God." If we're not convinced that they were lost due to that fact, then understand that they would not confess Christ. And if one will not confess Christ, according to Matthew 10:32-33, he won't confess them in that great day, right? So they truly were lost. They wouldn't confess it. But they did have faith. They just didn't want anybody to know about it. They wanted to keep it all on the inside and let no one find out, lest they be cast out of the synagogue. Thirdly, one may be convinced of the necessity of becoming a Christian and still be lost. Having the knowledge to become a child of God is great. One might even be able to stand up and give. Here are the five steps on the plan of salvation. He might even be able to give them with Scripture. I knew a fellow in Rockford, Alabama. He had grown up a Methodist, attended church with his wife, attended every time the door was open, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But he never had been baptized into Christ. And this fella, I was told, had gotten into a discussion with the Methodist preacher because he was trying to get him to come back after all these years because his mother had just died and they had the funeral, and the preacher was trying to get him to come back. And he was arguing with that Methodist preacher about how baptism by sprinkling just wouldn't do. Yet he hadn't done it. What an amazing thing. Convinced of the necessity of becoming a Christian, but yet be lost. No doubt we're aware of King Agrippa, who said almost, Acts 26:28, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He was aware of the fact of what it took to become a child of God. Paul had told him that. He knew he needed to become a child of God. But for some reason, whatever that reason was, he was almost persuaded, and as the song says, almost, but lost. Fourthly, you know, one can be baptized and still be lost. Now, there's more than one way one can be baptized. For example, one may be baptized for the wrong reason. New Testament baptism is supposed to be for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, correct? One can go through an act that's called baptism and not come to Christ because, for example, those in Acts 19, Barnabas had gone on to the city of Ephesus. He found certain disciples, and he came to them, and he began to discuss with them. Here's what's going on. What's going on with your life? How's your Christianity going and such? And as he began to discuss with them, they said, we haven't even heard that there be a Holy Spirit. He said, then, under what then were you baptized? Because he thought, well, surely when you were baptized, somebody might have said the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You might have at least heard of him. And, of course, as the discussion continued on, they found out that they had been baptized under John's baptism. He said, truly did John baptize with the baptism of repentance, saying to believe on the one who was to come, that is, on Christ. But they had not even come to faith in Christ. They'd been baptized, but they hadn't been baptized correctly. So what did he ask them to do? They had to, quote unquote, what we sometimes call, mistakenly, being baptized again, which in actuality means they were baptized for the first time. The first time they weren't baptized. But we call it, because we use sort of colloquial language sometimes, being baptized again. So some may be wrong on some of the facts of the gospel and have to be baptized again. Or, believe it or not, some people have been baptized for the wrong reason in the Lord's church. I remember growing up, there was a particular family that they had a son that was very well liked. He was very popular, and he dated three different girls that were baptized. Guess how many services they came to after the breakup? None between any of the three of them. Not a one. Well, they weren't baptized into Christ. They were baptized into Scotch. They were baptized in Scotch baptism. There's no doubt about that in my mind. So these people, again, if they were to come to Christ again, no doubt they would have to be, quote unquote, baptized again, because they had not understood the gospel to start with, or they would not have fallen away so quickly. In fact, next, you know, you can be a disciple and be lost. A disciple is a learner, someone who is learning and trying to learn more about someone. In this case, we're talking about not just disciples, but disciples of Christ can be lost. For example, in John chapter 6, if you go toward the end of that chapter, it's a long chapter, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. After Jesus said, no man can come to me except to be given him of the Father. After he said some things that really just upset the Jews, things about eating his flesh and so forth, as I think Hal read from us from the scriptures this morning. After those things were said, many, didn't just say one or two or a few, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And what does Luke 9:62 say? That if one has put his hand to the plow and gone back, he is not, I like this, worthy of the kingdom of God. He's not worthy of the kingdom of God. You can be a disciple and still be lost, which reminds me of the fact that you could be close to the Lord for a while and still be lost. In fact, you could be unusually close to the Lord for a while. Think about who were the 12 closest folks on earth to Jesus? The apostles. Now, among that group was one fellow by the name of Judas. He was close to the Lord. In fact, it said that all the apostles were able to cast out demons. All the apostles were doing great miracles around that time. But old Judas, he had some more motives going on. You remember that on one occasion, he saw some money in his mind being wasted because it wasn't going in his money bag. That was his definition of wasted. And he said, couldn't this ointment have been sold and the money given to the poor? And John tells us the inside story and inside scoop. He said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he carried the money bag. So when the Jews came to him and offered that 30 pieces of silver if you'll just betray the Lord, all he had to do was find the right fellow to kiss that night. He was on board with their plan. Now, later on, you remember he comes back and he tries to take it back, but it was too late in his case. We may be very close to the Lord. Here's one of the 12 closest people on earth. In fact, if you were to go in the first century and ask, what kind of food did Jesus like? He would have known the answer to that. Now, we'd have guessed based fish and things like that based on who he hung out with and what he cooked in John 21. But Judas could have told us how he wanted his fish cooked. Judas could have told us whether he wanted grits or fries with that, you know, the Florida question. Judas knew all of that. He was close to him. Yet, he went back. In fact, in 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22, Peter talks about those that go back, and he talks about them in a way that that is just contrary to modern sensibilities. In fact, if you were to ask one of these modern scholars and these people who love to be politically correct, should you have written this or not? They would have said, Peter, you shouldn't have written that. That's just going to make somebody upset. But listen to what he said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. He says, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse to them than the beginning. Then he says, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, but after they have known it, to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Oh, they would certainly, the politically correct people would say, oh, we can't have that in the Bible. That's just too offensive. That's just that picture is just too bad. Well, it's too bad for them, isn't it? Because Peter wrote by inspiration and wrote what he wrote, and it's not going to be changed. We may be close to the Lord for a while and be lost. Another thing we may be religious and still be lost. You know that in the New Testament, it seems as if most of the religious people Jesus came into contact with in the first century were those who were lost. Very seldom did those who were religious come to Christ and stay. As I think about that, I think about folks like Aunt Esther and Reverend Ike. She would watch over Reverend Ike. She was all excited, on fire. And Aunt Esther had a lot to say. But then if you watch Aunt Esther's life, what she said and what she did wasn't always the same, was it? You can be claimed to be religious and still be lost. In Matthew 23 and verse 33, as Jesus is discussing with the Pharisees on that occasion, a long section of Scripture about them, he says in verse 33, "You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" Wow. Then he goes on to say, "Wherefore, behold, I send you as prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them ye shall kill and crucify. Some you'll scourge in synagogues, persecute them from city to city." And if you think about it, in the New Testament, who was the first group to persecute? Peter, James, and John. Why? We know who it was. It was the religious leaders of their day. Because they did not want to hear anything about Jesus. In fact, they had put Jesus to death and thought when they put him to death that message would die with him. But it didn't. Because he didn't die for 3 days. And he came out of the grave. Then his followers said, "We're going to continue to preach the same message that he's commissioned us to preach." And as they preached it, they began to threaten. They began to throw them in prison. They began to beat them. But Jesus warned his apostles that they're going to treat you the way they treated me. And he also warned them, these are the same people that put to death the prophets. Think about that. Which of the prophets, he would ask, did they not persecute? Steve would ask that same question. Which one of the prophets didn't they persecute? And nobody stood up and said, "Well, I can name all of them because we didn't touch any of them." You go back and read the record and see what happened. They would be blind guides. They would be ones who would clean the outside of the outside of the cup. They'd be ones who would clean the outside of the tombstones of the prophets. But they're the ones who put them in the ground. At least their forefathers had done that. You could be religious and still be lost. There are many, many, many sincere people who are sincerely wrong when it comes to religion. For example, you remember years ago there used to be a guy on TV by the name of Jim Baker. He ran around with Tammy Faye. Be careful about Tammy Faye. Because if you run into her at the mall, you'll wind up with a makeup face on your chest. It was a T-shirt. I actually said that back in the 80s. I ran into Tammy Faye at the mall. Had a picture of her face. But think about all the money he built from those people. Were they sincere? Oh, no doubt they were sincere. But guess what? Just because they sincerely believed there was a theme park didn't mean there was a theme park they could go to. As sincere as they were, as much money as they sent, yet things just didn't materialize the way they thought of it. And likewise, some today are still sending money over to people over the airwaves that don't have their best interests at heart. They instead have the interests of their pocket just like Judas at heart. They want to be in the middle of the money. Eighthly and finally, do you know you can do many, many wonderful works and still be lost? In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, listen to what Jesus said toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And I will confess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." These people had done many wonderful works. Maybe they had built hospitals. Maybe they had built colleges and universities. Maybe they had built houses for old people to live in. Or maybe they had built houses for unwed mothers. But you know what? They didn't do it by the authority of Christ. They did it on their own authority so people would follow them. In Acts 20, when Paul talked to the Ephesian elders, he said, "From among your own selves shall men arise, teaching perverse things to draw away disciples after them." A lot of people What they want is somebody to follow them. John, on the other hand, when Jesus came to be baptized of him, to start with, he said, I can't baptize him. What am I going to baptize you for? And as the discussion continued on, he decided to baptize him. After he baptized him, you know what he said? He must increase. I must decrease. Can you imagine the Pope saying that? Can you imagine Jerry Falwell Jr., since Senior ain't around no more, saying that? Robert Tilton, remember him? Those words would never cross their lips. He must increase. I must decrease. They say just the opposite by their actions. You can do many, many wonderful work. I've always wondered why Oral Roberts built a hospital anyway. That's for another time, I guess. Many wonderful works and still be lost. So, in conclusion, you know what you can't do and be lost? What he says right here. The will of my Father. I profess to these folks, I never knew you. But go to Luke chapter 6. Verse 46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? See, it's one thing to call him Lord, it's another thing to obey him. Amen. That's what we do if Jesus is our Lord. Then he said, whosoever comes to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man that built a house and digged deep, laid the foundational rock. Then when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house. They couldn't shake it because it was found on the rock. Then he talks about those that heareth and doeth not. It's like the man that's foundation is built upon the earth. When the stream beat upon it vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. The difference is they did the will of the Father. Now, it is the will of the Father to hear the Word. It is the will of the Father to believe the Word. It is the will of the Father to confess Christ. It is the will of the Father to be baptized. It is the will of the Father to be a disciple. It is the will of the Father to be close to the Lord, to have some religion about you, and to do wonderful works. But it's the will of the Father you do all those things together for the Lord. He that doeth the will of my Father that is in heaven. If you're here and never obeyed the gospel, you can do so as we've just outlined. But we've got to do what we do, not just to do it for the action, but we've got to do it for the right reason, have the right motivation. Too many times, people have the right action, but they have the wrong motive. Amen. If you're here and never obeyed the gospel, you can do it as we've already outlined. But if you've obeyed it in the past and gone back out to the world, we call you the Lord today. Come as we stand and as we sing.